morning. Thank you for all being here. For me to share my confession of my faith to Christ. I grew up in a large Catholic family here in the suburbs, not too far from here in Mount Prospect. Growing up in a large family, there was usually always one of the children stood out. I would have called her the happy one, my sister Celia. God blessed her with great happiness. She was born with Down syndrome. She was really special, really taught my brothers and sisters a lot about how to live our lives. I would say, to sum up her life, it would probably be in some simple words like, don't worry, be happy. My parents, they were decent people, World War II vets. I believe that probably prepared them for almost 40 years of child rearing, to say the least. Being Catholic, I always, CCD on Saturdays was a must. I was taught by nuns that literally ruled with rulers. And of course, every Sunday we went to church. Outside of that, I had no Christian influence in my life as a child. Although I knew through what I had been taught what Christ had done for me, I saw a lot of hypocrisy in the church. Things just didn't seem to line up. I wanted to run. I didn't want to be in the church. Although I was taught at the Catholic Church that if you turned from the church, you'd go straight to hell. That terrified me. I didn't have a relationship with Christ, but I did pray for others. My father died when I was 14. One thing he told me before I died, he said, whatever you do, take care of your mother. And that made me think that I thought I could handle anything on my own. Unfortunately, I grew up with a group of kids that were not pleasing. What we were doing wasn't pleasing to God. I was ashamed that I was living in a world with a bad crowd, and I had become addicted to the world. These addictions continued well into my childhood. I was, as Ephesians says, in 2 verses 1 through 3, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. I was by nature a child of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I tried programs to help me find freedom of slavery from my addictions. They just failed one after another. Then in 1998, I met my lovely wife, Debbie. I still had my addictions. Sadly, after I was married, my addictions became more pronounced. I'd been alone for so many years, I didn't realize the effect that they'd have on others that I became close to. I didn't realize my desire for alcohol would have a really destructive effect. Debbie wasn't aware that I was an alcoholic when we were married, but she soon found out. In 2003, I had a major awakening in my life. I'd quit drinking, I quit smoking, I did crazy things like I started exercising and eating right. Debbie had got me a Bible and started going to church every Sunday. I was not yet saved, but I had found sobriety, at least temporarily. In the Lutheran church, we actually had a pastor that encouraged us to bring our Bibles every Sunday and open them up. And he did line-by-line preaching. That was a first for us at the Lutheran church. I had went to some classes in the evenings with Debbie as we studied the Bible. I used to use my lack of ability to comprehend and read very well as an excuse not to study the Bible. Something I still struggle with today, but that's changing. I learned quite a bit through our studies. The precepts classes are excellent, very in-depth. But yet, I did not have an overwhelming hunger for God or the Bible. At the time of my sobriety, I thought I had been saved. But that wasn't the case. In the spring of 2008, drinking had snuck back into my life for a short time. It was awful, but it didn't last for long. Actually, it was what God used to show me how much I needed Him. It brought me to the very end of myself. I had to leave the house. Not long before that, we started attending a Baptist church. They had just started a men's group. Since I had no Christian influence in my life as a child, the men's group was amazing for me. Debbie had been telling me I needed something like this for many years, and I didn't realize how right she was until I started attending. It was uncomfortable at first, but I realized how embracing those men were. This group of men had something that I needed. It was something about them. They had peace with God. One of the first verses I memorized was the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's from Galatians 5:22 and 23. These men had the qualities of these fruits. I wanted that for myself. I was counseled by the pastors. The head pastor at this church was the vice president of Pacific Guard Mission, for those of you who are familiar with it. He was very in tune with addictions. In the Lutheran church, I didn't believe that I could seek counsel for my addictions there. But at the Baptist church, Pastor Phil told us the truth from the Word of God. We prayed quite a bit about it. They had told me to pick up a Bible and start reading. Again, something I was never comfortable with. The men's group had really rallied around me, helped guiding me to Christ, and they discipled me. These men taught me about repentance and faith in Christ. In 2008, when I was temporarily out of the house, these men pointed me to Christ. At that point in time, I really had thought my marriage was over. Debbie had been patient with me for many years, but my life was a mess. I started to pray. Let me tell you how I came to know Christ. I did. Again, I started to pray. I asked God. I said, "You might not save my marriage, but what you're telling me in this book is that you'll save me." And as discouraged and disappointed as I was, every day that went by, I prayed continually. And the prayers of those men at that church around me were effectual. They were even laying hands on me and praying. They gave me hope that no matter what happened with my marriage, that God would save me and deliver me from hell. About a two-month period went by, and I was allowed back in the house. When I finally said, "Lord, I have to set my marriage aside. It's between you and me. You'll save me if I truly believe and turn to your Son in repentance." At that moment, I felt as if my heart of stone had crumbled. As doubtful as I was, each day that went by, I had more and more strength. Christ had saved me. I realized I needed a Savior for myself. I didn't need to seek Debbie's Savior. I needed to see Christ as my Savior. Glory be to God. What Jesus says is true in Matthew 19:29. "And everyone that has forsaken houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." After coming to Christ, God restored my marriage beyond what I ever could have imagined. The moment I came to Christ, I realized how blinded I was and how blessed and gifted I am. I'd been given so much. I now see how good God is. I now have a hunger for the Bible. Even though I never had been in regular English classes, I was always in reading classes when everybody else was off in more advanced English classes. I did manage to graduate high school in 3 years. But from 2008 on, I now pick up the Bible and I read it. I haven't gotten through the whole Bible yet. But I do read it daily. I truly do have a hunger to read the Bible. I also wanted to share a blessing with you that about this time last year, I know this church is there seem to be quite a few missionaries involved in this church, and there's a lot of support for missionaries. Some of you might be familiar with Feed My Starving Children. They package, it's a simple but very nutritious meal that is packed by volunteers all by hand. They do it 6 days a week throughout about a half a dozen locations. And this meal works a miracle in these children's lives. These children are on death's door. And to see the simple ingredients in this meal that they get once a day, and it's brought them back from skin and bones to healthy young children. And this is done through missionaries throughout 60 countries around the world. It helps to restore these children's physical lives, and through these missionaries, helps bring the spiritual life to them through the Word of God. It started out to me as just a social fellowship type of thing with some people at the church I was going to, and now they can't get rid of me. I'm there all the time. I'm a regular fixture, and I thought it had been a special place right when I walked through the door that very first night that I volunteered there. In Proverbs 22:9, it says, on the walls in the entrance there, it says, "A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." It's just been an amazing blessing to share in the experience with those people that volunteer just what seems to be just a few hours, you know, of their time, what they really do accomplish when you consider the totality of all the locations. There was one particular Saturday I managed to work the whole 12-hour shift. We packaged pretty close to 90,000 meals, and when you consider that 6 days a week at all those locations, you know, 52 weeks a year, they just package a lot of life-saving material in the form of these meals. I want to confess that to you all that Jesus Christ is my all. Christ has been working miracles in my life every day. He's my Lord, my Savior, my King. Without Him, I'm nothing. He is everything to me. I wanted to share with you one last piece of scripture, Romans 10:9-11, I thought would be appropriate for this morning. It starts out that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Thank you, and God bless you all.